listen up. This guy's got something to say to you and the horse you rode in on. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
All right, I'll entertain you, I suppose. Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the one in the middle. It's a pleasure to be with you. The pleasure is actually all yours. Thanks for being here. Please close the door behind you. What, do you live in a barn? Anyway, welcome to the show. How are you? Good to be with you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, please, hold your applause till the end. Oh, please. Oh, it's deafening. I can't even hear with all that applause. Stop putting your two hands together and making that awful noise. Stop it. I don't need it. I don't want it. Oh, allergies, man. What the hell? Did I do something wrong somewhere where I've been punished with these allergies? On my weather app phone smart device, it lists every day the allergens that could be harmful to you. And I am allergic to probably all of them, but not in a horrible way. It's just annoying. It's just annoying. I'm allergic to trees, grass, people, dogs, cats, amphibious creatures, park benches, dust, dust mites, fast food workers, all kinds of things I'm allergic to. Found out I was allergic to pickles. Not really. Just thought it would be interesting if I was. Hey, Ron, aren't you going to have a pickle with your hamburger? I can't. I'm allergic to them. I'm not allergic to pickles. I just thought that if I had to be allergic to something, I could deal with that one. I went to a restaurant yesterday for lunch because I was hungry and I just wanted to get out of the abode. And the server came over to me, a very, very nice young woman. She immediately introduced herself with her name. Yeah. She said her name was, this is so funny. I can't believe it. Oh, I couldn't believe it happened. She comes over and she says, hello, my name is Chastity. I'll be your server. I thought, oh my God, Chastity, I don't know why you said that word in front of me. I don't understand some names that people get. There's a server this restaurant has the strangest names for servers. I don't know where they get them from. They don't hire any Susans or Bettys or Jennifers. They only hire odd-name people for some reason. I had a server last week. She says, hello, I'll be serving you today. My name is Hope. I said, well, I hope the food comes quickly because I'm in a rush, Hope. They're naming people after various actions. We all need a little hope these days. What, do you want to get in the car and come home with me? What are you talking about? Hope. Hello, Destiny. What does your future hold? So she comes over to me, introduces herself, and The first thing she says is, does anybody here at the table have any food allergies? First of all, I was the only one sitting there, so that was kind of an odd way to phrase it. But that, she immediately wanted to know if I had any food allergies, and my immediate reaction was, wow, you really care about me. You don't want to see me die. That's really thoughtful and maternal and caring. What a wonderful way to introduce yourself, Chastity. No, I don't have any food allergies. And then I realized she doesn't care if I die or not. She just doesn't want it to happen at her table. Try to get another job, you know. Like, where did you work before? I worked at Red Lobster. Why did you leave Red Lobster? Oh, one of the people I was serving died because I didn't ask them if they had a food allergy, and they died right in front of me, and the paramedics came and had a, it was just awful. Do I have the job, by the way? No, you don't, Chastity. Yeah, I don't know. Food servers. It's a great job. It really is. It's just, it involves a couple of things. It involves remembering what the people ordered. That, I think, is a real feat, because I walk into a room and I don't know why I went in there to begin with. So my memory is not great, really, anymore. They say that when your brain cells die, they never come back. I am the poster child for that. My brain cells don't necessarily die. They just, like, say, yeah, what the hell, I've had enough. They just say, I'm not remembering anything anymore. We're not dying, Ron. We're just fed up with you is what we are. So they can, that always impresses me. I've talked about this before on the show. The food service, they remember the order. And it's like, whoa, not only do you remember what I ordered at the table, but there's like four of us, and you remembered which person got which thing. I used to go to restaurants when waiters and waitresses were not that up on things, and they used to come over with the plates. Who has the tuna fish? Who has the mahi-mahi, the double order of mahi? Who has the steak tips? I remember that, but not anymore. Now they're very up on it, you know. Here's your steak tips, and you had the mahi-mahi. Here's the mahi, and here's another mahi for you. They remember it. And it's so impressive. They are jugglers. They are circus performers. Yeah, all they do is just take the order and carry the food from the kitchen to the table. I get it. It's not, you know, it's not rocket science, but what is rocket science except for rocket science? Well, it's not rocket science. Well, no, it's not. It's your computer programmer. It's not rocket science, but that's a good job. It's the food servers. They balance the plates, and it's not only that they can bring like two or three full plates of food to the table. They balance them on the inside of their arms. They're carrying like 5, 6, 7 plates. It's like an Ed Sullivan act. Millennials don't know what that meant. Ed Sullivan was a host of a variety show. He had no talent whatsoever, but he was able to draw the talent in and book them. So he was just awful, and he had a Sunday variety show, and everybody watched it, and you weren't born yet. And that's pretty much the history on what I just said. But they've got the plates. There's like two plates tucked in their elbow, and another one in their hands, and they got a plate like on top of their head, and they got one plate like holding the lip of the plate in their mouth, and they got another plate shoved into their private part area. Those are the small plates. That's where they carry the pickles. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing the balancing act that these servers do. And we don't appreciate it enough. I appreciate it. When a server comes over with a lot of plates, they remember the order. I take out my wallet. I take out a couple of dollar bills, and and I'll shove it in their pants because I'm appreciative of them. I love to tip. Not a lot of money, but I do love to tip. I do love to tip. I do. I do because I do appreciate people. If I'm sitting there eating and then I'm looking at the server and they're working, it's like, well, I got to give you some money. I'm going to give you a dollar. I'm going to give you a dollar. Anyway, welcome to the program. That was like, 10, 15 minutes ago? Yeah, something like that. Just allergic to everything. My nose is running. It's halfway down the street by now. I'm sick of chasing my nose. Ron, where's your nose? It's out running. It's getting some exercise, I guess. When I go to the doctor, I always mention the fact that I have allergies or something and pollen, and the response by the doctor is, don't we all? I mean, is that a medical response? Is that proper? Doctor, my shoulder hurts. It's getting kind of, it snaps a little bit when I move my shoulder. And yeah, that happens to all of us when we get old, doesn't it? Yeah, okay, that's not really what I was looking for. That doesn't really help me. There was a commercial yesterday on TV for a thing called Cologuard. I think it's, is it Colon Guard or Cologuard? I don't know what it is. But apparently instead of having the colonoscopies, you get this little kit, and I don't know what you do with it. I think you take it out of the box before you shove it up your ass. I'm not too sure. I never did it. Don't know how it works. But it certainly sounds a lot cleaner than a colonoscopy and a lot less comfortable, and there's no prep work the whole bit. And I thought, oh, this is wonderful. And they said, okay, yeah, Cologuard, you don't have to do the big colonoscopy, but it's only for people that probably don't have any colon problems. Well, how do I know that? I guess you have to have a colonoscopy at some point, and then they tell you whether you're at high risk or not for colon stuff. That's a medical term, colon stuff. So they have this colon guard or whatever, and you send in the sample. But here's what they said in the commercial. It's for people who have mild colon problems. And here's the thing that's in the commercial. It's very frequently or sometimes there are false positive results or false negative results. And I'm thinking, okay, what you've just told me is your product is not very good. I mean, I got the test results in the mail, in the email from the Cologuard. What does it say? I have a horrible colon problem. Not necessarily. That could be a false positive. Oh, great. That's great. Thank you. How do I know? You have to have a colonoscopy. But that's why I took the damn thing, so I didn't have to take a colonoscopy. Or you take the test, and it comes back, and it says, no negative, your colon is fine, everything's fine in there, your plumbing is perfect. But, it says in the commercial, sometimes it's a false negative. So now I think that everything's fine, when indeed I've got some big problems. Well, how do I know for sure? We'll have a full colonoscopy. But that's why I took this thing, so I didn't have to have a full colonoscopy. If it has false positives and false negatives, what good is it? What good is it then? You want to use my pencil? Sure. It may not write, or it may write, I don't know. Why are you giving me your freaking pencil? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. All right. Anyway, I do have a guest coming up very shortly in the program. Not that my guest is short by any... Napoleon apparently was short, but not that short. Napoleon, a very interesting character, very powerful little man. The Napoleonic complex would mean that short people have to compensate for their height by being more assholish than most people. And the Napoleon complex also is that for some reason you're taking your right hand and you're shoving it into the top of your coat for some reason, your jacket, and there's no reason for it. It's just part of the complex, I suppose. I suppose if you're really short, if you take your hand and tuck it into your jacket, it makes you look taller. I really don't know how that works. I don't know much about history. I really don't. I was not good in school in history because I didn't care what happened before. I only cared about what's going to happen next. When I went to school and sat in a classroom, I didn't really care what time I got to school. All I cared about is what time can I get out of here? I always looked forward. I looked into the future, never looked behind me. As a matter of fact, many philosophers, I don't know the philosopher's name, Archimedes, Flangioni, the great Flangioni. I don't know who said this. Some philosopher said this. Aristotle, Bobby Fischer. I don't know who said this. But they said, never look behind, always look forward. So why do they have history classes? And the answer usually is, you can't, if you haven't learned from the past, then you are doomed in the future. And I thought, well, that's fairly a negative thing to say. That's a fairly negative thing to say. I try to be optimistic. But I'm not. Sometimes I'm pessimistic. Is the colostomy bag half full or half empty? That's hard to say. It's hard to. It's all attitude. Anyway, my guest is joining us. My guest today is an interesting situation, and. I think you'll find this fascinating. Here's the deal with my guest today. In the news is Britney Spears. Again, millennials, not too sure if you're familiar with her or not. She had a breakdown. She wasn't able to handle money. She was marrying everybody she could find and divorcing them 2 minutes later. She made some poor choices. She would order the meatloaf. And she really wanted the fish. Bad choices on her part. So her father took over in a conservatorship, which means Britney Spears could not make any decisions, couldn't run her life, couldn't do anything without approval from her conservator, which happened to be her father. Oh, my God. All right. That was like 500 years ago. Britney is trying to now get her independence back, saying she's gotten her life together. I don't know if she has or she hasn't, but it's brought up the subject of conservatorships. Where somebody is responsible for somebody else's life legally, they can't do anything without approval. It's very confining. It's like being in prison. I don't know how extreme it has to be for a court to say, okay, you can have control over this person and they can't have control over themselves. So the Britney Spears thing has, in modern day society, with Facebook and these crazy times that we live in, TikTok, that clock app. I thought TikTok was like, you know, oh my gosh, my cell phone, my smartphone is off by 2 minutes. Where's the TikTok app where I can change the time on the phone? Figured out that's not what that is. It has nothing to do with time. Anyway, because of all these apps and everything, and Facebook, and that horrible, horrible den of iniquity, that Facebook thing, these topics are just become viral. Can we change that? We've just been through about a year and a half of this coronavirus thing. Can we not say my computer has a virus or it's gone viral? Can we just find some other way of expressing that, please? Thank you. Anyway, that's been a big topic of conversation, so we're going to hit that topic right now. Are you ready to go? Sit back. This is going to be interesting. Let's talk about Britney Spears and her conservatorship. And what is a conservatorship anyway? Aaron Solomon joins us now. He's the head of strategy for Esquire Digital and the editor of today's Esquire, and he is a legal analyst. And thanks for being with us today.
It's my pleasure. This is certainly a newsful week.
It is a very newsful week, sometimes more than I can handle, and I'm sure yourself as well, especially in the legal world, all over the place. Interesting stuff, too. I put it under the category of things coming to a head.
I think that's very well said. Yeah.
These are things that were festering legally and finally came to the surface. The Cosby thing, the Trump Organization thing, and Britney Spears recently, which has been an incredible story. Let's start from the beginning on that. What exactly is a conservatorship?
So it's a great question. And, you know, the Britney Spears thing has been not just in the United States, but all over the world, so much in the news over the past few weeks. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really good to just go to its core. So at its core, a conservatorship is just a way for someone to assume legal guardianship over another adult. And the reason it could happen, obviously, is people fear for that person's mm-hmm. mental or emotional state, that they could do themselves physical harm. But in something like the situation with Britney, when this conservatorship went in 13 years ago, they feared for her decision-making capacity. Right. They felt that these were impaired to the point where she couldn't deal with her business affairs. Let's remember one thing. 13 years ago, arguably, she was the biggest celebrity in the world.
Right. Well, I mean, I read about a lot of celebrities and also know a lot of people that are totally incapable of handling their business affairs, perhaps not to the amount of money that Britney was involved in, also made some horrendously, incredibly horrible choices. That's also in the family. but they don't get snatched up by a relative saying that they're unfit.
This is a great point, right? And not a lot of people, more people should bring up the point that you just brought up. So I get asked a lot this week, why is this happening now? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if we think about Britney Spears' career today as opposed to 13 years ago, I think we would both realize it's in probably a lot better shape than we thought it would be
right.
in 2021.
Right.
And we've seen history of a lot of celebrities having massive earning potential as they get older through things like Las Vegas residencies. Mm-hmm. So let's just go ahead and assume that Britney's earning potential for the rest of her life is pretty big.
Right.
The reason that this happened is there's obviously a significant amount of money to control.
Right.
And let's remember that conservators are allowed to have some compensation for being in the role of conservator. Mm-hmm. So she's a big mark. I agree with what you're saying. Hey, listen, you know, what if you're a lottery winner and within a year you blow, you know, $50 million
right.
doing stupid things? That's life, right?
Right?
So what if you're a big celebrity and you make really bad decisions and you blow your record in concert fortune? That's life.
Right.
So I think that there is a nefarious element to this, which is going to continue to develop as we see it through a legal lens.
The other scary thing that it seems once you are in this conservatorship, that it doesn't seem to ever go away. I mean, it seems like it's for a lifetime. She's changed over the years. This was quite some time ago. I don't know if it's for the better or not, but I mean, why, you know, it's like she's stuck in this forever unless she fights it tooth and nail.
You know, you can't help but thinking about Britney song lyrics with all this. I had to use the lyrics from Toxic in the piece that I wrote, mm-hmm. and now I'm thinking about the song like, I'm a girl, not yet a woman, right?
Yeah.
It's of course. I mean, the thing is, yeah, it's like, it's such a complicated issue, and I don't think it's anything that's going to resolve that quickly. What you're saying is 100% right on. It's a difficult thing to unpack.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's going to be the courts that unpack it. So, yeah, there are conservatorships that are very short.
Yeah.
And there are conservatorships that are very long. The one thing that hasn't happened yet, which got lost in the whole Free Britney movement a week ago after her impassioned speech, is the fact that her legal team, which I'm sure is extremely competent,
mm-hmm.
has yet to file a motion have the conservatorship end. Hmm. What the judge ruled upon this week was simply an interim motion to have Jamie Spears suspended as a conservator. Hmm. So when that happens, the whole process starts anew, meaning a little bit of investigation, and Brittany gets another chance to testify.
Wow. It's certainly a process. There's no question about it. Once you get your knees deep in the water, it becomes quicksand. Brittany's father is not looking too popular.
He's not. And, you know, people always ask me, like, well, you know, why? Like, why is this all going on? Yeah. What you've got here basically is the equivalent of someone who is a child star. And made tons and tons of money. And for anybody, including a family member, to be able to exercise some kind of control over this, there's absolutely a darker side to that. Now, of course, we don't know, because we don't know the exact details of the conservatorship. My understanding is the conservatorship documentation isn't something that we're going to find in a Freedom of Information Act.
Right.
So we don't know the exact reasons. We only know the things that we read in entertainment publications about why she was placed in conservatorship in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not an amendment to the Constitution, is it?
No.
No.
And the thing is, all the things that she said that got people so fired up last week, those could be true, those could be 50% true, or those could be untrue. Evidence, if there is a motion to end the conservatorship, is going to be brought in from all sides of the equation.
Yeah, interesting. Again, I mean, was there ever a point, I'm not familiar or I don't remember completely what was going on, but was there suicide attempts in this mix?
I honestly don't remember all the details. I know that there was a lot of fear for her physical health and for her emotional health.
Yeah.
And clearly the story that she's telling last week about the amount of control that the conservatorships and the conservators can exercise over her life should give us all pause. But like I say, this is a lot of allegation and hearsay at this point, and we'll see what happens in court.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows the specifics as to whether the drugs involved in order to keep her sane or whatever. We don't know the depth of it, but again, I mean, this is a while ago. How many years ago was that this conservatorship began?
13 years. It's 13 years old.
Yeah, okay. Jeez, well, actually, I haven't changed in 13 years, but I'm a lot older. It's different, I think.
I'm with you on that. Yeah. I haven't changed that much in 13 years, and I'm definitely a lot older than Britney Spears.
Yeah. Just to get off to the side of this for a second, what other news stories are bubbling here that you're involved in?
Oh, it's interesting. So I've been writing a lot about the NCAA's decision and the name, image, and likeness rule, which has just been a crazy week. That all went into effect yesterday.
Yeah.
And basically allows any NCAA athlete, regardless of what division they're in, Division I, II, or III, to monetize their name, image, and likeness. So basically, it really kind of shakes the notion of amateurism to its core.
Yep.
And then the other thing that I'm deeply involved in is I really feel that minor league baseball players are being so terribly taken advantage of by Major League Baseball. There's actually a great group called Advocates for Minor League Baseball that's doing amazing work.
Yep.
So I'm following what's happening with baseball's antitrust exemption, which in my opinion is going to disappear within the next year.
Yep.
The court will make it disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to be literally a whole new ball game for minor league players, a lot of whom earn like $750 a month.
A whole new ball game for minor league ball players. That is pretty cool the way you said that.
Thanks.
I don't know if it was on purpose. I think it was.
Not really.
You know, I mean, just to stretch it for a second, if you're an apprentice plumber, you're getting paid like almost nothing. Sometimes you're doing it for free in the hopes of becoming a plumber someday. I guess that was the theory prior with the NAA, in a sense that, well, you're an apprentice. And you're aspiring, you're learning. So this is a school. It's a learning process.
Sure. I mean, the thing with NCAA athletes, right, there's a couple different pieces of it. So there's the academic piece to it. And people said, well, you know, these students go out and get scholarships.
Yeah.
But we're not looking at the reality of what's happening with NCAA athletes. Like even today, there are NCAA Division I athletes that go to bed at night hungry. I mean, that's just the way it is. So that's fine to say, okay, well, I'm still going to be an apprentice, but some of these major Division One programs are making tens and hundreds of millions of dollars a year, literally off their backs. There's got to be some way to share that wealth so that these students, you know, can do more than hope that the dining hall has enough food for them. It's just super inequitable.
Wow. Sounds like child labor laws, almost.
A little bit, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all right. Well, this is fascinating. How do we keep up with what you're working on, what you're doing?
You go to todaysesquire.com. I've always got pieces up there. I've also got pieces in places like TechCrunch and Fortune. I hope that everybody follows and enjoys what we're doing.
Great. He's Aaron Solomon. Google him. And thanks for being with us. Hope we talk again soon. Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you so much for being here. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, thank you. I'm going to release you now. You can go home to your families. What, you don't want to go home to your families? I understand. I get it. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.